eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My opening shift is, it's a question to you, Bridget, and Scott, and to the fans out there. And it's a question to myself, too, and I'll work through my answer along throughout this podcast. But this Bruins team, they have a lot of positive qualities, a lot of things going for them. They have fantastic coaching. They have fantastic star power. They do have good scoring depth. If you look up and down their roster and you look at where they are in the league, sometimes it looks like they don't, but they do. And so I can't take that away from them. And in general, they have good structure and great goaltending, and they're a good hockey team. What I want to know going forward is this team tough enough? And I don't mean fighting. I certainly don't mean fighting. What I mean is, and I'm not harping on the Calgary game or the Washington game necessarily. Those games just remind me of the type of hockey that the Bruins struggle with in the spring in recent years. And the teams that beat the Bruins are teams that kind of outworked them. And so heading into the spring this year, I'm just curious, is this Bruins team tough enough? And what do I mean by tough enough? I mean, can they win, physical battles up and down the ice? Can they win those races to loose pucks the majority of the time? Not every time, the majority of the time. Can they back check and forecheck and pressure up and all over the ice with the tenacity that's needed to win a championship? Do they have that personnel right now within, or do they need to add a couple of pieces externally? So I just want to pose that question to you guys and the listeners. Is this Bruins team tough enough in the intangible areas when the going gets tough?
I think they can be. I will also say I don't think this is something you can really learn about a team in the regular season. Like it's easy to ask this right now when they've had two stinkers in a week, but I don't think you learn that in these games. Like the whole team was off Saturday, the whole team was off Tuesday. Teams have these kind of games, you know. Like we would all say, if you asked, you know, who is the most physically effective team, we would probably say the Florida Panthers, because we saw it firsthand in the spring. They still play that same way. I've seen games from them this year where they just haven't shown up. Like it happens. I think the Bruins do some things physically pretty well and better than last year. Like I think they have been, for the most part, not every night, but for the most part, a better forechecking team. I think they've gotten to the front of the net more in the offensive zone and scored, greasier goals. Jim Montgomery before the break or maybe right after, highlighted that like they've basically completely, based on their internal statistics, have completely inverted in terms of percentage of goals that were off the rush versus in zone last year to this year. And it's now a lot more in zone, fewer off the rush. And that's more like playoff style hockey. That's how you score in the playoffs. So that requires physicality. You know, to score goals in the zone at the front of the net is a more physical game than being a team that scores off the rush. I agree with Montgomery when he also highlighted that defending the front of their own net is still an area they have to improve. So in that sense, maybe they haven't been physical enough. But I think there's things there that make me think they can be. They're just not always doing it consistently. So that's where, okay, is that a matter of they're not capable of doing it consistently, or maybe motivation just goes in and out over the course of the season and you just don't bring it every night, and maybe they would bring it every night in the playoffs? Like, we're not going to know that answer right now. You can go outside and you can add physical help at the trade deadline if you think you need it. But the reality is like, you don't really know the answer to those questions until the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical question, obviously, especially since we don't know necessarily the final personnel heading into the playoffs, because they're, I mean, I'd be really shocked if they didn't add someone, and I would be shocked as well if that was a person that was purely skill and couldn't bring anything on the physicality side of things. Like, I feel like the ideal way to handle the deadline would be to either add one player that's physical, or a player that can do like do both for you, can be physical, can be skilled, whatever. We don't know the final personnel, but I will say, even though it is a hypothetical question, there's reason to be concerned about it for sure. If you watch the Washington game, or if you watch the Calgary game, or even just throughout the season, like that's recency bias. But throughout the year, you watch times where guys get bumped off the puck, and where there's seemingly no emotional response to a big hit that one of your teammates takes, or like sometimes I just don't know if they have the right people to respond to certain situations, like to respond to a Tkachuk doing something dirty or just getting under people's skin. Like, can there be someone that does the same thing to the opposition? We don't see it consistently. So I understand the question, because you'd be lying if you're a fan watching this team and said it wasn't a concern for you at all that they were going to be able to just like flip a switch and 100% of the games in the playoffs be able to have this physical presence that they haven't had during certain stretches of the season.
Yeah. And I want to preface this. Like, I don't think this is something that one trade deadline ad can solve. Like, this is something that no matter what, the Bruins have to, they have to address this internally. And this isn't just based on Calgary and Washington. Like Bridget mentioned, there's been pockets of stretch this year where they get outworked. Don't forget, and I don't mean to speak down to anybody listening or the two of you, but I'm speaking to myself here too. The first month and a half of the season, the Bruins had a phenomenal record. It was heavily because of goaltending. Okay, like they were very much bend, don't break. And the only reason they didn't break was because of the backstop in net, whether it was Ullmark at the time or Swayman. And I think this team got bailed out earlier on in the year. And I do think before the All-Star break, they were playing their best hockey for sure. But what happened last night yesterday afternoon against the Capitals is something that happens over the course of a playoff series where you are in game being outworked for a stretch of time, or maybe the opposition has gone to the X's and O's of the strategy and among a playoff series, and they've realized something that you're weak at, or they're exposing a weakness of yours. And in game, in series, you're facing frustrations. And as a team, you have to have the ability to say, you know, screw this, like, let's get back to our game and enforce our game. And that doesn't mean putting people through the boards. It means winning races to pucks. It means winning face-off battles, those 50-50 face-off battles. It means being strong on your stick, receiving passes, and getting open without the puck. It's all the little things. And yesterday against the Capitals, the biggest problem for the Bruins, yeah, you can say they didn't shoot the puck, but the Bruins had no forecheck. They had no forecheck because they weren't retrieving pucks in their D zone. They weren't breaking out, so there was no transition. In the offensive zone, in the D zone, all over the ice, they're losing races to loose pucks. So when you're losing puck battles and you're not having possession, how can you implement any other aspect of your game? Shooting's the last thing you implement. You know, the forecheck and everything else comes first. And all game, there's a loose puck. Oh, Washington gets it. They had so much more energy. Now, Washington was on a six-game losing streak, and their season's in the balance. So they're playing with piss and vinegar, sure. But nobody on the Bruins had the ability yesterday, at least yesterday, to say, screw this, I'm going to outwork my guy for the puck. And so when I ask, does the Bruins team, do they have the toughness? Do they have the ability? Does Pavel Zacha, does James Van Riemsdyk, does Jake DeBrusk, does Morgan Geekie, like just go down, like any player really, like that hasn't, you know, earned the emphatic yes. Are those players, do they have the ability to win the puck battles when things aren't going their way and to kind of stop the nosebleed, for lack of better terminology?
Yeah, and that is one thing that bothers me from Saturday's game. And that was actually, when I was thinking of potential opening shifts, like that was actually kind of my runner-up, was it's disappointing that literally nobody had a response. Like, I don't expect the same guys to have to do it every time a game like this is happening. And it's not like the Bruins don't have anyone capable of doing it. We've seen guys on this team provide a spark, whether it's Brad Marchand dragging guys into the fight, or David Pastrnak making a highlight reel play, or Trent Frederick with physicality or a fight. Jacob Lauko has done that. Charlie McAvoy with a well-timed hit. Like, even I think of the Panthers game earlier this year where they're running around trying to get revenge on McAvoy throwing hits, and Derek Forbort drops the glove, and that really kind of stopped Florida in their tracks, and they weren't nearly as physical the rest of that game. Like, so we've seen guys do it, but then you get a game like yesterday and no one does it, and you're kind of left at the end like...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Looking around, like who was it supposed to be? Like, who?
Well,
anyone? Like no one wanted to step up yesterday?
If you think about, like, old-school hockey, could you imagine, either of you, that a game with that little energy from one side, there wouldn't be one player that was willing to like try to spark something with a fight? Like, even just last year with Nick Foligno, I feel like Nick Foligno was like an old school classic mentality kind of person, where if he saw his team just like had nothing going on, he would be like, okay, well, I got to do something. And you know, that's the classic, you know, 90s and before way to start a change in momentum. And it's still in the game, but you just didn't see it. Was there, couldn't have been a better time to do it than yesterday, and nobody did.
Yeah, no, great point, guys. And like, listen, we try to be humane when talking about the Bruins. Like, being an NHL player playing 82 games at the highest level, it's a grueling schedule. There's a lot of travel, and believe me, I'm not playing the world's smallest violin for professional athletes, but I understand that individuals are going to have games and shifts where they just, despite being a professional, guess what? They're also out playing against other professionals. Like, you know, it kind of washes each other out. Like, there's going to be times where you just don't have it. And there's going to be times where a team as a whole might not have it here and there, and that's fine. But that's also the beautiful part about a team, is that when most guys if there's ever a time where some guys don't have it, chances are somebody should have it that day, right? To your guys' point, like, how did one person not step up? And I hate to say what I'm about to say, because it kind of makes me feel like I'm treating Trent Frederick like he's supposed to be some gladiator in the Roman Coliseum back in the day. But because he's really the only Bruin that really has his skill set, like, yesterday, Bridget, to your point, would have been a good time when the game was still, you know, relatively close. Well, the game was close the whole time for the most part, despite their lack of play. But call it the second period, right? Maybe after the Bruins kill off that five-minute major to Grizzlick where they only allowed the one goal. You're down a goal. The building's quiet. Maybe Trent Frederick tries to ask Wilson to drop, or maybe somebody, and maybe that sparks the Bruins. So it's, you know, it's going to happen where the team's going to be off. Individually, every guy can't have it every day, every game, but you'd like to see at least some guys, some collection of guys have it every game, because there's 20 guys out there. Somebody's going to be playing well today. Somebody has to do something. And look, yesterday's in the past, but going forward, it's something that the team needs to address. And it could just be internal, but they have to address it. And Bridget, you mentioned in passing the Marchand getting high-sticked by, I believe it was somebody on Calgary. And I don't really know if we talked about it much in the podcast, but yeah, that's your captain going down. Not a ton of response there. And again, it's like you kind of look at Frederick because he's like one of the only guys that can really fight somebody with any sort of conviction. But, you know, other people have to step up too. And I didn't like that either.
My thought is that Trent Frederick is no longer a fourth line player. So like, just because Frederick is unfortunately the only Bruin that comes to mind when you think of someone who could start that, really, you kind of want a fourth line guy to handle that situation. So like maybe a Jacob Lauko. Well,
Monty's like, Boquist, get out there. You're on the fourth line.
Well, I was just going
to
say.
That's what I was just trying to get to, that's what you want to happen. You want it to be a fourth liner, not someone like Trent Frederick, who actually has a larger role on the team this year. And it has been, you know, an offensive spark, not just a spark with fighting or physicality. But that person doesn't exist in the lineup right now. Like we've mentioned it, it comes up all the time. Lucci's not being there, lost that element really, by and large, not just for the fourth line either, for the whole team. So that just feels like an area you need to try to do something with. I know there's AHLers that you can bring up and do whatever, but there's no, like, you're not bringing up a goon. You need someone that can play at the NHL level, that can be a fourth liner or maybe third liner, but probably fourth liner, and just be there like in moments like that when you need it.
Yeah. And beyond even fighting, because that's sort of its own separate thing. And it, you know, it is kind of a dying part of the game, but even like a fourth line that goes out and sets the tone with a physical forechecking shift, like I know that they talked about that being part of Anthony Richard's game when they call him up, and yeah, like you can be an effective forechecker without throwing big hits, I get that, but that doesn't really set the tone or the swing momentum. Like it is that more physical style forechecking that can really create energy. And so, you know, after the game, Montgomery said he thought Anthony Richard was one of the only players who actually had some jump. And I don't even necessarily disagree with that, but Anthony Richard's jump isn't the kind of jump that creates energy on the bench or in the crowd. Like it's speed, and he might get under someone and like win a puck battle. But he's not throwing a hit, you know, like he's not doing stuff that's going to help wake a team up. Like it's a different kind of energy. And they've clearly made, at least for now, they've made this shift towards, you know, a little bit more of a skilled, speedier fourth line. And I think that can work. Like your fourth line doesn't have to be, you know, a bunch of 6'3" guys who can crush people. But the trade-off is like you're not going to have that fourth line that can help you in something like this, where like the team just needs that wake-up call. It does end up falling on guys higher in the lineup because your fourth line right now isn't really designed that way.
Let's not just, you know, throw strays at Anthony Richard out here.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, that's who you're putting in on your fourth line, and it's, that's fine. There are certain things he does well, but he's not that kind of fourth line.
Yeah, but like, so neither is Boquist or Steen, and we know Lauko can be, but he wasn't. You know what? I would have liked to see him pop out of the box because he served that major penalty, and he was pissed when he went in the box. It was like as if he got called for it. He just like got in there and like had the worst like body language ever. Just in the box, and I felt like he could have come out frustrated and done something like immediately after that.
Well, he got a breakaway right out of the box and he fumbled away the puck and Ovechkin took it from him. Like, yes. Bridget, I'm glad you highlighted this because I wanted to get to this at some point, but yeah, Lauko looked upset, disappointed that he was the one serving. And I'm sure we didn't get to talk to him after the game, but I'm guessing it's because he feels like he's at a point where he can help kill that penalty, right? He probably thinks, you're going to need more killers than usual. I can help. Like, that's probably why he's disappointed, is my guess. Okay, well, you know how you can help? Take advantage of that breakaway you get right as you leave the box. And he didn't. Like, that was like a golden chance to make an impact right away, and he just fumbles it away.
And that's why sometimes the person you want serving your penalty is someone that can finish those, because it happens. You know, sometimes guys get out of the box and they're the, you know, no one was paying attention, and all of a sudden they're in alone. So you usually see like a skilled player who doesn't kill penalties at all, like a David Pastrnak in there.
Yeah, but that's another thing. I should have asked Montgomery about this after the game. Maybe I will, like, Monday at practice or something, but. Yeah, I want, like, does that come across as like an insult if you put Pastrnak in there? Because Pastrnak didn't kill that penalty. He didn't get a shift during those 5 minutes. So, you know, why not have him be that guy in case you do get that breakaway chance?
Yeah, that could have been a goal if that was him.
That's a great point. Like, he doesn't play at all in the PK. So if it's a 5 minute major, he's not going to. And you know, one of you guys mentioned fighting. Just real quick, the Bruins have 10 fights in the season, and Trent Frederick has 5 of them. And then I think Loco has 1, 2, 2. I think Forbert has 2, and Marchand and Wotherspoon maybe have 1. So yeah, it's not really something that's very prevalent in the game right now. But when you have one guy accounting for half of them, and then the other ones are just kind of ticky-tacky, borderline roughing penalties that are labeled 5 minutes for fighting, it kind of illustrates the Bruins just there. Not even so much. It's I know I just labeled fighting, but it's just, you know, they don't have a lot of guys that are willing to do it really. One of them is Marchand, apparently, once Loco, and then Wotherspoon, who people didn't know about until 2 months ago. So anyway,
I remember that fight, and it wasn't a great fight.
Wotherspoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
We liked that you tried, and it was a good thought, but it needed some work.